we do recycling, but we don't have any national laws around recycling. It's all local and it's a big mess. It's patchwork. While the European Union has this amazing like circular economy platform. So everything has kind of got these centrally controlled rules and targets and it works pretty well. Ours works not as well, but the divergence isn't as big as you think, but they're both based on the same science. They've just got different ways in which that science becomes policy.
Now, from a policy perspective, why don't we have something that's a centrally standardized form of recycling at a nationwide level in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we really should. I mean, because production and recycling all happen in different places and affect different people. I guess the short version of a very long story is that waste management began in cities. And often, if you look at history of cities, that's often one of the reasons why city government exists. It was the first thing that they did was collecting waste and trash and I guess horse manure, all of those things. And so it really evolved bottom up. And so it's just been one of those areas where the federal government has not had the bandwidth to really intervene, but also has been very much come up from local levels, local preferences, local politics, local policies of getting rid of the kind of criminal elements that were running waste disposal in many cases. It's never really been pulled together. And now it's just this big, complex, very localized system.
Are there commercial interests or moneyed interests that benefit from there not being a standardized system in place?
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's although we have many, many different kinds of systems, there's really only a couple, maybe three or four really big waste management companies, waste management being one, I think Republic is another. So yeah, they're able to work in all of these jurisdictions and to some extent, you know, work very differently with different communities, make money in different ways. I'm not going to say they're unscrupulous or anything, but it's definitely an industry that has a lot of political clout. But yeah, there's a ton of money to be made in trash. And it's something that people don't think about. They think, oh, we just throw it away. The haulers take it. They put it somewhere. But they don't think about the whole world where these things are collected and then they're sold on to be, you know, to be recycled, to become other things. It's a big complicated world. A lot of money is made and we don't really have a clear picture of what's going on.
What are some of the limitations and perhaps myths that need to be dispelled when it comes to just consuming more than is necessary with a clear conscience?
Right. I think again, people have thought for a long time, oh, we can just recycle the plastic, the food, whatever it is that we have, the glass, the paper, so we can just keep buying it. And I think for a long time, people just sort of believed that recycling was the way that this was being solved. And we've flipped to the other end of the continuum now, that I think with realizing that there really aren't great markets for a lot of recycled goods. Plastics, for instance, you know, there's been so much publicity, plastics in the ocean, that we're realizing a lot of it is just getting thrown out. And the statistic that only, 9% of plastics get recycled worldwide, and maybe that's 4% of plastic waste in the United States, is giving people pause and realizing that, no, plastics we're not really working with as effectively. I think that means that we still need to look at the rest of the recycling system as some of it's functional, some of it isn't. Aluminum cans, still very recyclable, for instance. Paper, cardboard, not too bad. Glass, not at all. I used to think, oh, well, you know, we can't recycle plastic, but we can recycle glass. And in fact, glass is one of the hardest things to recycle effectively and economically. And it's not got a lot of uses as on a larger scale. So I think there's a lot of sort of complications around recycling and the effort you might have to go to clean your recyclables and not contaminate different loads. And it's actually kind of a bit exhausting for most people to think about. I know that communities like Berkeley, Boulder, others, that people really sort of want to be educated and want to do something, but it becomes really hard for them to think about. And then sometimes we just don't know where it goes.
Colorado has tried to shift some of the responsibility for plastic waste onto the producers. Is this part of a nationwide trend?
Yeah, it is part of a nationwide trend. And as always, it's not federal yet, although there are some bills in progress, but it is at the state level. So this is called what's called extended producer responsibility. And the idea, and again, this comes from Europe and some other places, is that one of the best ways to stop pollution and to create more environmentally sound packaging or other kind of products is to get the people who produce it to have to pay to dispose of it. And that's a pretty powerful incentive. Traditionally, it's been used effectively in mattresses. That is something we don't even think about in this context, but they're taken back by the manufacturers who have to deal with them, and they often reuse components and electronic goods. So now this is being applied to plastic packaging. And a couple of states have already introduced legislation. That would be Maine and Oregon, I know specifically. Sounds like Colorado is moving in that direction. And so probably most significantly of all is California. And I think this, again, is a potential game changer if it works correctly and is properly kind of implemented and monitored, and that you'll have companies like who even, not just the ones based in California, Colorado, Maine, or Oregon, but the ones that are, that anyone who ships plastics to these places will have to be responsible for either taking them back directly, or I think Maine's, part of Maine's legislation is that they pay fees into a local fund that will pay for better recycling facilities in Maine itself. So I think that this is one of those sort of areas of intervention that can be potentially very successful and kind of gets industry to think directly, pay direct costs rather than pass those costs on to others about what they produce, how they produce packaging, and what they sell their goods in, for instance.
Well, we are coming up on time. I just wanted to give you a chance to say anything that perhaps you want listeners to know that I didn't ask.
Well, I think the most important thing, and maybe, you know, I probably said it, and it certainly comes through in everything I do, which is wastes. Don't just throw them out and stop thinking about them. They have an afterlife, not just plastics, but your clothes, your electronics, food, anything that gets thrown out, there's something that happens to it afterwards. And quite often that involves people making money. And I also think it's important to think about who's doing that work. I love sort of sitting around my neighborhoods looking, well, who's picking up the trash? Who might be, you know, kind of rifling through your recycling and taking that, and understanding that there's a whole trash economy in which we live but is not visible. So I find that really exciting to think about. And as a little exercise that I tell my students to go do wherever they are.
Kate O'Neill, professor in Global Environmental Governance and Global Waste at UC Berkeley. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on.